What's up? The man is back from his
Oh
boat trip.
man.
He's back on dry land, folks.
I'm back on land, and low key it feels kind of good. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, you see legs gone? You still got them.
No. I've never had them.
Oh, nice. Nice. I get it a little bit, like a little shaky, and then I'm good.
No, I saw Rach the other day when I went to go get some stroganoff, and that shit
Oh
was
yeah.
slam. I just want to say,
It
but.
is. It's always been slamming. It's only up for a limited time that they brought it back. I said, why? Just
Why?
bring it back permanently. We would all be benefiting from that. So, not sure, but yes, always good.
She hit me with, so yeah, CJ's mom said that she'll pay for our cruise and all that, and he said, no, I'm good.
Listen, she's not wrong. Okay, here's the thing about that. And I'm not gonna get into a big thing about this. I am not a boat guy. I just never have been. I'm not a water guy, really. I can swim. Let's not go with the black jokes like I can't swim. I can swim like a son of a bitch. If I was dropped in the middle of the ocean, I have no doubt I could swim my ass back. Whatever. The point of the matter is this. When it comes to a cruise, and I shouldn't even say boats, because I have a few friends who've taken me out on a boat or like a small, yacht or pontoon with a slide, whatever. It's not that it's not fun for me, but when you talk about a cruise in the middle of an ocean, my brain goes negative and it goes, if that boat breaks down, you are so far from any dry land civilization and you are just at the mercy of whatever. Hopefully, the Coast Guard finds you, a plane flies overhead, another boat swims by. You are at their mercy. I am not someone like I would much rather, and I'm gonna knock on wood when I say this, if my, heaven forbid, my plane ever came down and I survived it. And I was in the middle of the woods. I can survive that more than I can survive being broken down in the middle of the ocean. Just throw me in the water and let me drown. Like, I can't do it. So it's not that she just said she's gonna pay for the cruise. It'd be a portion of it. But for me, I was just like, I don't see the point of us going on this cruise for my mother's 59th birthday. We're gonna have to do something huge next year. So if we're talking about a 60th birthday, yes, I'm a little more acceptable to it. Just, it's a milestone. It's a big deal. 59, here's a cake. Love you, Mom. Like, what? And I know it's also because my youngest brother is graduating from high school this year. I can't believe it either. But that's part of his present, too. And she's like, well, we got my boys together and do. I'm like, cool. Can we put this off a year so that we can make a big blowout of it, and then maybe I can convince you not to go on a boat and we take a plane somewhere dry? That'd be great. So, yes, I did reject it, but I have my reasons for it. Not to besmirch your trip, I want to know how it went. How did it go in the Dominican Republic?
All right, so
Was it the best fucking time ever?
all right, so I got a little story about that. All right,
Oh boy.
so we were supposed, so we had some excursions, right?
Excursions.
That's what they call them. That's what they call them, right? So,
Excursion.
oh, excursions. I'm sorry,
I
excursions. I'm
was like,
still drunk.
I thought you're trying to be black about it be excursions.
I'm still drunk. My bad.
I
You
don't
see,
blame you.
I ain't used to this. You feel me? I ain't used to
Right.
this.
I got you.
So we're supposed to go ATVing.
Oh, yes, you mentioned that.
And so we get to the Dominican Republic, we get off the boat, we meet our tour guides.
Yeah.
Go on the bus, take a nice little cruise through all these big ass potholes in the Dominican Republic and the countryside to where we're gonna go ATVing, which is by a beautiful beach, by the way.
Yeah.
And so they're like, yeah, before we go ATVing, we have to show you guys how to use these machines. They showed us how to use them. Now we're all going to go on a test drive to make sure you guys are all okay and drive safe enough so we can go on the path that we're going to go on because it's really bumpy.
Yeah, sure. Makes sense.
So we're all in a line and we're all like, following the little test drive path, and we come to the end of the line, and the guy that's telling us you're good or you're not good looks at us. He points at the girl that I went with.
You
I forgot what Pokemon she was. I forgot what Pokemon she was.
you gotta give her her own thing, her own name, just so we can,
I
yeah.
forgot. I forgot what Pokemon. I really did. Kelly, let's call her Kelly Rowland.
I like that so much better than a Pokemon. That's great. That's great.
Let's
I
call her
love
Kelly
it.
Rowland.
Done.
All right. He looks at Kelly Rowland. He's like, nah,
No? Oh
no,
no.
nah.
She wasn't ready.
He looks at me. He's like, oh, you're good, man. You're good.
Oh, peace. Or is she just like holding on for dear life?
So why he rejected her was because she was like herking and jerking. You know what I mean? She wasn't going at a consistent speed.
Just,
yeah.
Like she can't drive stick shift. Like.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Mm. And so I was like, I'm actually with her. And I see his face.
Good move.
Yeah, I see his face. He's like, damn.
He's like, I'm going to get fired.
Oh, fuck. And so we go off to the side. They let her try one more time. They let Kelly Rowland try one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Kelly fails again.
Oh, no.
Because she failed to listen to directions.
Oh.
She didn't. Or they wanted her to go in a circle.
Sure.
She ended up going straight into a different path that she wasn't supposed to go to.
What?
I don't know why, but it is what it is.
Okay.
And, you know, so we're sitting there and like, yeah, can't go.
Oh.
And I'm like, damn, you know, we're negotiating with the guy. Can't go. They're like, you know what? I mean, we'll give you an all-inclusive. You can go to the beach. You get free drinks, free food, all that.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Done.
So we go and do that.
Nice.
Have a pretty decent time over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Time to come back. Or time to go back on the bus.
Sure.
So we can get dropped off back at the boat. To gotcha. Where we're, you know, the boat that we came from.
Mm-hmm.
Go back over there. Hop on the bus. We're almost late to it. Because Kelly Rowland's drunk.
Awesome. As she should be.
And so we're on the bus. She goes, I need a pee. Okay. And I'm like, if you look around, we're in the middle of traffic in the Dominican Republic. There's nowhere you can pee right now.
No.
If you're familiar with the Dominican Republic, tight streets, aren't any rest areas.
Better get that plastic bottle, bro.
So I had two drinks in my hand.
Uh-huh.
I slammed them both.
Attaboy.
Gave them to her, and she pissed in both of the cups. I gave her the first one. She's like, I need a piece of more. Yep. I'm like,
slam the other cup. It's boom. Dumb and dumber. It came back around. Oh, no.
Fucking pees in the other cup. And I'm like, all right, no matter what you do, we cannot spill these fucking bottles or cups of piss. All right?
Are they like open cups or like bottles with caps on them?
Open cups.
Oh, fuck. Oh, no.
Open cups. And so crazy. Her drunk ass is like, okay.
Oops.
So we get back over there by where the bus is, dump all that shit out real quick.
Good. Did anybody notice you guys?
I hope not, but I'm sure somebody did.
You're like, I don't give a fuck. It's not. This is.
Oh, somebody probably did.
Wow.
And that was quite an experience, man. I never felt more like a dad in my life. I'll be honest with you. Because surprisingly, I was not drunk.
That's very surprising. What?
I'm more drunk now than I was that day.
Just that day or the whole time you were there?
Just that day, man.
Damn.
Yeah, so.
That's the whole point of going is to get shit-faced.
Yeah, man. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I still enjoyed the Dominican Republic. I would love to go back. I bought some nice cigars there, but
hell yeah.
Oh man, like that day, it was a day.
It sounded like it. Sounded like she had the most fun. That's great, though.
She did.
Nice.
I mean, it is what it is. I wish I would have got to go ATV in though. I mean, I could have.
Oh man, yes. That's one of those things where it's like you have to. You never know when you'll get back there to try it again. Hopefully you're still young and brave enough to do it when you go back next time and not, you know, 20 years from now when you're like, my body won't really hold up to an ATV anymore. I'm just saying.
It's
coming fast. Pause. No way out of that one. I couldn't fucking maneuver out of that one at all. But that's going to keep going. But I'm glad you had a great time, even if it wasn't everything you wanted it to be. It still sounded like it was a fucking dope-ass time. Even though cruises are not for me,
yeah,
that kind of shit, the ATVing and the drinking on a beach, I'm always down for that. That's, yeah,
you know,
it's just the boat to get there.
I had nothing but like whiskey sours and
yes,
cigars.
Sir.
That's all I had. And
that's all you need.
Yeah. I was living a dream. I ain't gonna cap. Like to just chill on a boat like that with the view that you get on the ocean, you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
when
you I saw late at night,
when you're up late at night, it's like midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, you go up to where the where the pool is, and you're just chilling out there, smoking a cigar, sipping a whiskey sour. Can't beat it.
Woo. Yes, sir. That sounds amazing. That's always good, especially a cigar. I love a good cigar too. So that's just like,
hell yeah,
man, the whiskey and cigar combo is it's unbeatable. That's a classic combination, folks. Mm-mm. If you don't know what we're talking about, you need to try it out. They go so well together. It's like peanut butter and jelly.
Just hop on that shit.
Hop on that shit. Man, well, that's dope. I'm glad you had a great time. I'm glad you're back. Glad you're safe. That's all good. You didn't miss much around here other than some good sunshine and lots of thunderstorms and some bullshit-ass tornado warnings going off around here. But that's just Wisconsin for you. I was on a little journey myself last weekend and went to go visit a friend, my wife's best friend of like 35 years and shit. So great person. I'm not sure if you might have met her. Ooh. I cannot remember for life of me. Well, I'll blink out her name. Her name is Rachel's like best friend.
Never.
Okay, never. Okay, just making sure. But she lives up in Green Bay. So
we went up.
She was having a little bit of a shindig and, you know, we had to make an appearance. So I went up to the land of the cheeseheads and so I came back. I survived it. It was a little sketchy. We had a great time. I was getting fucking lit, but you know, there's quite a few out there in that area who are a little sketch, who are a little, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you know,
scratching their nose.
A lot of nose rubbing out there. So I was, you know, kind of keeping my distance, you know, I was cooling out. Just they had some karaoke at some bars we went to, and we were always having a good time, but just kind of, you know, keeping 10 toes in the ground, keeping my head on a swivel, that kind of thing. So
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Had to let them know, but it was a good time. Glad we got back, and you know, it was nice to have a day off without the kids. But other than that, man, it's just low key around here, and that's how I like it. Real fucking.
Hey, speaking man, of low, you know, hopping in Ubers all around Miami, like I appreciate the roads that we have here. Not because of the potholes. Fuck the potholes.
No,
but the amount of traffic.
Oh, in Miami is insane.
Oh man, like I'm.
It's almost Chicago bad.
Yeah, worse.
It's actually, I was like, it's like New York bad. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
bad.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
bad.
Almost as bad as that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just one tier below it. That's Miami.
I'd say so.
So I'm happy for this low key ass city. Like, I don't ever have to sit in traffic that long.
Oh, God, no. Even the worst traffic in Milwaukee is nowhere near those cities. Mm-hmm. God, no. Night and day.
Whew.
Good God. Mm-hmm. I don't miss that.
You
shit
miss an
at
exit,
all.
You add another 30 minutes to your destination.
Oh, yeah. I was in an Uber in Miami last time we were there, and like the guy missed his exit, and we were like, "You have the GPS, bro!" And he went on like another 20-minute like adventure just to get back on the road to get us back to the hotel. I was like, "Wow, 1 star." But I don't fuck around, man. Miami's fun, but yeah, you can't get lost in Miami. That's a no no. That's a big no no. But speaking of low key, we have kind of a low key show for tonight's episode, a little more basketball talk and then a little bit of fun. So let's get the party started. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, let's cue that music.
Glock, glock. 1, 2, 3. Glock, glock.
Drinking that tequila today. It's been a nice
Whoa.
Little. Yeah, I know, right? I don't know why. I do know why. Because it was Cinco de Mayo on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
So we had the Hornitos pouring up.
At Hornitos. Hornitos?
Hornitos. Hornitos.
Hornitos.
Hornitos.
See, I told y'all he has an alcoholic cabinet. He didn't get nothing but... See, there's different types of alcohol in there. He probably got some cognac. He probably got some.
Oh, no.
He got some
no.
more whiskey. You already know. He probably got some rum, some fucking Fireball. So he got some bullshit in there. I'm telling y'all, it's an alcoholic cabinet.
It's not an alcoholic cabinet if that's what the cabinet was built for. It's for the alcohol. It's not a whiskey cabinet. It's alcohol. It's a liquor cabinet. And I don't have a lot of different things. It's a couple of things I like. I do like a good tequila every once in a while. I can't be drinking whiskey all the time. I'll be sitting there sweating my ass. I'm already fucking sweating. But, you know, tequila's got that agave flavor. So sometimes a little more refreshing than like a hard, you know, smoky whiskey. So it's just it's just the mood I'm in, a little bit lighter mood. But, yes, this is specifically because we had the tacos and margaritas on fucking Cinco de Mayo. And that shit was slamming, bro. Like, I made homemade Crunchwrap Supremes and shit.
Oof.
Yeah. Homemade, bro. That shit was gone real fast. So,
oof.
So yeah, a little more horny toes for me. And it's going down very nice. It's a very clean tequila. I like that. I know what I said. I know what I said. Oh, my God. Welcome back. This is the Bank Bro Show. You already knew that because you pushed play, and we appreciate you for that. My name is Siege, fresh from the land of coked up cheeseheads. That guy is Rizzy, fresh from the land of great rum and questionable decisions. So we're on small vacations, and we're back here just for you. Talk about a few things, and then, like I said, we're going to settle into a little bit of a game later on that you are familiar with that we like playing here as well. Before we get into sports, I have something sports adjacent I wanted to ask you about. Did you see the roast of Tom Brady?
I did not, but I've been seeing everything on social media. I ain't going to lie to you. I haven't watched any of it yet.
Oh, but, we watched it last night, bro.
The best thing I saw, though, was Kim Kardashian.
That wasn't the best. It was, I booed her from my couch, bro. I booed her from my couch. Did you see the shit about that came out about her today when it comes to that roast?
Yeah, I did.
Yes, that's just crazy. And for those of you living under a rock who didn't know that shit, this was a live event that happened for this roast on Netflix. And unless you watched it live the very next day, so I didn't watch it live. The next day I watched it, Netflix went in and edited a little bit of the broadcast. And a big part of that came out today, and people were figuring this out. So Kim Kardashian went up there, spoiler alert, she got booed pretty heavily. But on the edited version, it wasn't too bad. It was a little bit of boo, whatever. On the unedited version, because TMZ dropped the clip of the unedited version today, she had like a parade of boos before she even said, like, she said one word. It was just, to the point where Kevin Hart had to step in and go like, whoa, like, everybody calm down. Let her just say her jokes. Like, they had to cut all that out from a live broadcast because of how much she got booed. I love it. I love it so much.
I loved it.
It couldn't happen to a better person.
I love that little clip.
The fuck y'all got her up there for? What is exactly any of this shit? Like, what? Oh,
you know,
man.
You know, see, CJ, you and listeners, loyal listeners who I love so much, what have I called the Kardashians in the past? Remember we did that tier rankings?
I remember.
The career killers.
Career killers.
Specifically to successful, young, black male athletes. A la Reggie Bush.
Exactly.
So fuck Kim Kardashian. Fuck all the Kardashians.
Also, side piece, shout out to Reggie Bush for getting back his Heisman as he fucking deserved. Thank you. Justice is served. All is right in the world. I had to put that out there. Congratulations, Reggie Bush. You finally fucking won, bro. Mm-hmm. But yes, no thanks to Kardashian. And I don't know why she was up there. Her jokes were awful. Awful. She only had like 5 minutes up there, too. And she stunk up the place. So
she got booed for 4 minutes and 50 seconds of it.
No, they stopped booing her. They let her get her jokes out. It was that first like minute. Straight. It was boom. I was like, wow. Wow. That's why you should announce that. Try to surprise you with her because she was in the audience. And he's like, oh, come on up here. It's like that. That's the kind of person you announce that ahead of time so we can prepare ourselves not to boo her, because that's the natural response. You want us to have a measured response to her, not the natural response.
It's going to be natural.
It's natural as fuck.
Everything she not, which is natural.
Exactly. I like what you did there. That was good. That was real good. But yes, bro, you got to watch this shit. I'm not going to spoil shit for you just because, honestly, I can't. There's so many fucking jokes. It's a three-hour event. Go on.
I saw bits and pieces, like what Rob Gronkowski was saying about fucking Julian Edelman. That shit was hilarious.
Gronk. Gronk was funny, but he's also a fucking moron. I knew he was dumb, but he's a dumb. Like,
he's a fucking dumb.
He was catching strays all night about his intelligence. I was like, damn, bro.
Yo, his ass is a fucking, like, he's a prototypical tool.
Totally. He's a total caveman. He just happens to be wildly successful first ballot Hall of Famer coming up. But, like, Gronk was catching him. He was catching strays all night, too. And that shit was great. Because, wow, whenever he opened his mouth, I was like, oh, God, do you need a helmet? I understand the helmet now. I get it. So, my God. And all I want to say is, there were a few people on that show that I thought just aced it, burned through it. I'm a shout out Kevin Hart because it's been a while since I've laughed that hard at Kevin Hart. He's always funny consistently, but like he did a great fucking job as a host. And he he kept dropping, fuck you, Tom. He just kept dropping fucking F bombs at Tom for no fucking reason. Tom's just sitting there. And I'm like, damn, Kevin Hart's on fire right now. This dude named Tony Hinchcliffe, never heard of him, lit the fucking stage up. I will watch his work because of the shit he said. I was cracking up.
Don't even know his work.
I don't at all. I have no idea who he was. And he came out swinging. But there's one person on that entire fucking panel that I was like, it was the best roast I've ever seen. Nikki Glaser. Holy shit. I know her work. She's a stand-up comedian. I've seen her. She's fantastic. This was, I think, the best roast I've seen ever. And I've seen a lot of roasts. I used to watch them on Comedy Central all fucking time. She came in and ethered everyone. Everyone. Everyone she made eye contact with. Gotcha. 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 I was like, we were howling at her shit. There's one joke. I really want to say it. I don't want to spoil it.
Say it.
Because I was like, I can't imagine it. Because you and I have joked about, you know, Giselle and her karate instructor.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Play toy. And, I mean, they went after that shit a billion times that roast. They're all about Giselle. I said, Giselle gonna fucking sue somebody. But Nikki goes up there and she says something. And I'm gonna butcher it. But she says something like, it's so awesome that Giselle found a dude who can kick Tom Brady's ass at the same time he's eating hers. And I left the room. I got up and said, that was the joke of the night. You can shut it down. Done. Are you kidding? That's gold. That's absolute gold. We were fucking crap. We were dying laughing. So, my God. There's so much to see in that roast. Because you haven't seen it, I will say there's a few guys I want to shout out for being just, no, they didn't belong there. And one I'm sad about, poor Randy Moss. Oh, no. Randy, not only was he catching it for not having a ring with Tom Brady or at all, that they hit that button a lot, but his roast just is lackluster. This wasn't really his thing, so that sucks. Dana White, you need to miss me with all that shit. They gave him an open mic for 2 minutes, and I was like, turn the shit off. Can't stand. I don't even mind Dana White, but that was like that Dana White, the one who hates all poor people. That Dana White started coming out. And I was like, oh, I don't like that either. Ben Affleck, weird as fuck. Didn't like it. I put Kim K, was awful. I like Peyton Manning because he's funny as fuck.
He is funny as fuck. Him and Eli, funny as hell.
That should have been Eli. That's my only note about that. Peyton was there. Eli was not there. Again, spoiler. Eli should have been there at the end.
Because oh, man.
I want to hear everything that man has to say about this shit. That was amazing. One guy I can't believe showed up is Drew Bledsoe. The balls it takes to go to the roast of your replacement who came in when your ass was in the hospital for 5 days, and then he won 7 Super Bowls with your fucking team that you built, and you go to his roast? What? You should hate his fucking guts. And they gave Bledsoe shit all night. He's gonna cry in the car. I already fucking know it. He probably sobbed in his Miata.
His Mazda Miata.
Exactly. Woo. I mean, good on you for being a good sport, but Bledsoe, like, that was going to be the roast of Drew Bledsoe more than was going to be the roast of Tom Brady. So that was a little ballsy. And Brady was good, too. He had some good zingers. You know, the roastie always goes last and gets to take his shots at everybody. And the only thing about Brady is he always sounds like a Terminator pretending to be a human. Whenever I hear him speak, he's like the white Russell Wilson to me, where he's just so socially awkward with how he speaks, even though he's in a public speaking role. He never sounds like he's just like shooting the shit. It's always like, let's fucking go, man. I'm like, speak normally, Tom. If you're room for your friends and peers and people who love you and adore you, speak normal. Speak hood. Where's the slang? He's very University of Michigan. I was like, oh, God. Even when you're insulting people, you sound like mayo on white bread, but it is.
Hey,
what
man,
it is.
Fuck you, dude.
That's literally what it was. He's like, fuck you, Kevin. I was like, ugh. You don't have the snap that Kevin Hart does. He was like, fuck you, Tom. What's that hard F on it? Fuck you, Tom. Like, fuck you, Kevin. Like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. But anyway, I digress. The point is, watch the shit. It's 3 hours. I was going to split it up into two just because that's a lot of fucking time. Normally, with my age, if I watch something more than an hour, I'm asleep. So being able to sit there for 3 hours while we're drinking and fucking watching this shit, and I stay up through the whole thing, like, that tells you it was hilarious and absolutely worth your time, dude. Check that shit out. Everybody check that shit out. So fucking funny. Probably the best one I've seen. That everyone fucking killed it. Most of them killed it. Most of y'all killed it. Good guy. Anyway, you know what it is. NBA playoffs are here. We're in the second round. Conference semis are in effect. And I want to know, out of the 4 series we have left, how you think these are going. And I want to start with a favorite of mine. That's the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Ooh, yeah.
1-0 on the Mavericks after locking up Doncic in this first game here. So do you think it's a sign of things to come? Or how do you think this series is going to play out?
I still think the Mavs are going to win the series. We haven't previewed this yet.
We have not. No.
I actually had the Mavs winning the West. I think I mentioned this in the past.
You did, yes.
The Mavs came out and played, outside of Kyrie Irving, terribly. Irving was getting anywhere he wanted to go, hit every shot he wanted to hit.
Yep.
Luka was off. Gafford missed a ton of layups. Josh Green and Tim Hardaway Jr. couldn't hit a fucking lick. They just had a bad game. They came out flat against the Clippers in game one as well. I'm not worried about the Mavericks.
All right.
The Mavs will win the series in probably 6 or 7 games. I'm not taking anything away from the Oklahoma City Thunder. I just think, one, experience is going to play a role.
That's big.
And two, one thing the Mavericks did well in game one, although they lost, was rebound the basketball. Only thing they didn't do was hit their shots. And, you know, you give credit where credit is due. You know, you shout out Oklahoma City. They played very well. You know how I feel about Shea. Shea went crazy. Jalen Williams for 3 quarters was bad. He didn't hit a single shot.
Right.
Came on in the 4th quarter, closed the game out for them. Chet played very well. This is going to be a very exciting series to watch.
Absolutely.
My favorite series to watch thus far in the playoffs. And I think, you know, as far as like entertainment value goes for the casual fan, this will be probably their favorite as well.
I think so.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how this series actually shapes up. I know I said I got the Mavs, but of course, anything can happen.
Of course.
But I don't think Luka's going to play that poorly again.
There's no way.
No way.
There's no way.
Kyrie's going to continue to do Kyrie things. Can't nobody on this earth touch Kyrie Irving. he had this, I know they lost, but as a basketball, like, fan, he does shit that makes me think, like, who the fuck would even think of doing this shit? Like, in the 1st quarter, he went up for a floater with the right hand. He went up for a floater, changed his mind mid-air, faked a pass with the right hand mid-air. Then he switched hands to the left and floated it with the left. And this mid-air happened all in live time, all in mid-air. Like, I don't know what the fuck goes on in his mind. He's just so free out there on the court, and I love it.
That's NBA Jam shit. Literally.
Well, some NBA street type shit.
Are you talking anyway?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, god damn. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just a Kyrie Irving dick rider. I don't know, but
I get it. If you
I love the way Kyrie Irving plays the game.
Right.
But I also love the way Shea plays the game. He was getting everywhere he wanted to go, drew plenty of fouls. He led his team to a victory, and I'm excited to see how this plays out.
I would agree with that. I'm actually going to say Thunder in 7. I like both teams. Again, I mentioned before that, like, I wasn't a fan of a Luka-Kyrie matchup because I wasn't sure how it was going to play out with two dominant players like that. But they have completely gelled into a force on that team. The Thunder, though, and I like that you brought up experience. Yes, Dallas has much more experience here. But I feel this is the series where you need the Thunder to win this, to get that experience. I know you can get a lot of experience losing, but the same way I saw, like, the Timberwolves just dismantle Phoenix, that's a team where you kind of go, Minnesota isn't, like, notoriously a good playoff team, and they don't really get a lot of, like, long runs either, but, like, they're getting this someone like Ant is getting this experience against people like a Kevin Durant or a Devin Booker. Like, you're getting the minutes in live time here, going against someone like Luka, who by all rights is almost I wouldn't say a 5-2 player, but he's damn near close. But the Thunder and everyone on that starting lineup can really benefit from taking down a team like this. And I don't think they do it without a full seven-game series. Like, Mavericks are going to drag this shit out. And like you said, it's because I don't – there's no way Luka went, what, 6-for-19 did he last
Some
time?
Some shit like that, yeah.
There's no way. He had 19 points. The man was on a 8 or 9 game streak of at least 20 points. So, like, you're not getting this Luka every single time. But at the same time, like you said, even the Thunder were missing a ton of shots. I think they make some more of those next time, too. This, I feel, is a back-and-forth barn burner that's going to go a full seven. And I only have Thunder just barely outlasting them. They won 117-95 in this game. But those, I think, was a microcosm of the entire series. I don't think you're getting that kind of score. I'm thinking they're going to pull out some more very close wins if it gets down to it. And honestly, I'll do one better. I feel like the Thunder come back to win this series. I don't think Dallas is the comeback kid here. I think Dallas goes up in the next game, and I think they start pulling them together. And I think Thunder comes back to kind of finish this. But I don't. This is the series I can't figure out number one, just because it's like I like the lineups for both of these. So we'll see. We'll see. But I have Thunder in this one because I really like everything they put together, and I really like the young guns going into this. So that's just me, but I could be a shade dick writer at this point, so I have no idea.
Hey man, you and I both this is like one of those. I'm only riding with the Mavericks because I picked them to win the West.
Yeah, you have to stick with it. Yeah,
but like as a basketball fan, I love what the Thunder are putting together.
Yes,
I love Jalen Williams. I've been praising him all year long.
Yeah,
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, that's my MVP.
Yes, 100%.
Chet Holmgren playing
put it all together. Yes, you put it all together.
And then all the role players like Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, Lou Dort,
Dort was a big reason Doncic got completely locked down. Lou Dort went nuts.
Yes. Great game.
Yes.
But one thing I will say, that Oklahoma City Thunder arena and crowd, fucking crazy. Probably the best fans in the entire league.
Yeah.
That arena was jumping like a college arena.
Camera was shaking. It was nuts.
And if it goes to a game seven,
that's kind of what I'm getting at. Is
my brain is gonna pick the Thunder?
Yeah, that momentum in that arena, I don't see how you stop that. At least at this stage, they're on a roll. But it's gonna be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's skedaddle over to a different series that is very fucking interesting so far. The Minnesota Timberwolves are up 2-0. On the defending champion Nuggets. Also breaking news, just a couple hours ago was announced, Nikola Jokic has won his third MVP in 4 years. It is official. He is the guy again. Now, we mentioned that when your brothers were on here about how the world was like, please God, not a third MVP for fucking Jokic. But he's got it again. I can't blame the league for giving it to him. But how do you feel, A, about the third MVP, and B, what the Nuggets have to do to get back into this shit? Because Minnesota is cruising.
Yeah.
Cruising.
How do I feel about the third MVP? I'm not going to say he's not worthy, because the numbers he put up, of course he's worthy.
Of course he's worthy.
You know what I mean? But if they gave him a third MVP, how come Kobe only has one?
That's a damn good question.
How come Duncan only has one? How come LeBron didn't win 3 in 4 years?
Mm-mm.
You know, like it just brings up more questions for me. Like,
what's the standard?
Exactly. Like, what are we looking at?
What are we looking for?
He wasn't the top seed in the West.
Nope.
He didn't lead the league in scoring.
Nope.
I know he averaged damn near a triple double for the season.
Yeah.
But so did Luka Doncic, and Luka Doncic led the league in scoring. If you want to go off that. If you want to go off records, like what everyone says is so important, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led his young Oklahoma City Thunder team to the top seed in the West.
Yes.
So what is the standard? We don't fucking know.
No. Nope.
And apparently the voters don't fucking know either.
Nope.
So, I mean, congratulations, Luka, but I left this.
Jokic.
Yeah, I guess so.
See, I do the same thing with those two names, I swear to God.
So I don't fucking know. Like, I don't know. But congrats, Luka. Like, I said Luka.
Again.
But congrats, Jokic. Congrats, Jokic. You won your third MVP. Not taking anything away from you, because those numbers are MVP worthy. But I just have a ton of questions now.
I would agree with that.
Your next question.
Yes. What do they got to do?
Remember when I said last year that the Nuggets are the worst one seed I've ever seen in my life?
I recall that like it was yesterday.
This is exactly why. I knew stopping the Nuggets wasn't rocket science.
Mm-mm.
You just need some bigs.
There you go.
You need a wing. You need a wing that can just go crazy at any given moment. And Anthony Edwards.
Playing out of his mind. He's so taking the next step in his game.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You throw bigger athletic defenders at Murray. He's going to struggle. He's not that athletic. He's very skilled, but he's not that athletic. And when you throw those big bodies at Jokic, like Naz Reid, Cat, fuck Rudy Gobert, but Rudy Gobert, I know he didn't play in that game, but I mean, that's another guy. Like, you're going to give them problems. You know, Jokic struggles with athletic big men, like I mentioned in last episode. Mm-hmm. When they played the Lakers, Dwight Howard, JaVale yep. McGee, that's Anthony right. Davis, you know, guys like that. And the Timberwolves, they just have the recipe to beat the Nuggets. But I still think the Nuggets come back and win this series somehow.
I actually do, too. I have Nuggets in six here. But, again,
Nuggets is 4-0 the rest of the way.
I think they 4-0 the rest of the way. And it's only because of Jokic. And that's the only reason I'm saying that. Murray, yeah. I know, he's got to be the pacemaker here. But Jokic, again, that's a team, like we said before, even last week, saying that one or two people leading you to success, like, he's going to have to at this point. I think that era is done, which is what could do Denver in. But Jokic, if he's on, the team is on. If he's not, Murray's going to shoulder the load. And I don't know. I
actually think it comes down to a different player.
Oh, who's that?
Michael Porter Jr.
Interesting. Go on.
I think Michael Porter Jr. starts to heat up.
I can see it.
And I think he's going to be the difference maker. Because I think Jokic is going to do what he does. I think he's going to have to work hard for every bucket and everything that he does, but he's going to do what he does.
He's not going to be
Big Country Reeves for the next, you know, six games or whatever the case, four or five games, whatever the case may be.
Right.
Murray, I expect him to continue to struggle a little bit, but I think he's going to start playing better.
I think so.
But Michael Porter Jr. is the guy that's going to get him over the hump because they're going to need that third option, that third score. Someone that can score from the perimeter, hit timely threes, things like that to keep him in the game or to close the game out later in the game.
Right.
Someone they can run plays for and get open that they can depend on. And I think the Michael Porter Jr. we saw in the Lakers series, who couldn't miss literally for a game.
Right.
We're going to end up seeing him again. And he's going to be a difference maker in this series, and he's going to start making a name for himself the way I thought he would when he first entered the league. A 6'10". Wiry, strong wing that can just flat out shoot the ball and score.
Damn, that's a really good point. But
I will say this: that man, Anthony Edwards. Good God, it's gonna, when it's all said and done, it's gonna be Jordan, Kobe, Wade, and Ant-Man.
Honestly, I'd agree with that. From what I'm seeing, he's got Hall of Fame written all over him.
All over him.
The way he's playing is nuts.
Crown him right now. Like,
he's on every part of the fucking court. Like, he's everywhere.
Both ends of the floor. Nobody could check him, and he holds his own on defense.
He's blocking like fucking Charles Barkley. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Jesus. Like,
Ant is something special. I wish he didn't play for the Timberwolves.
Same. I really wish he was on a different team. I don't know why.
Oh, my God, man.
I've always said that, though. Like, I don't like him on the Timberwolves.
But, you know, we mentioned it in the past. Like, he's definitely going to be a face of the league. If not already, he's already. Yeah,
he's definitely one of them. For sure.
Yeah.
If anything, I'll say Nuggets in seven. You're right. A four-game comeback is kind of nuts. But I feel Nuggets win this however they got to win it. I'll say six or seven. But
six or seven, yeah.
I think Nuggets do win this. But you brought up one other guy, and I'm glad you did because I want to know how you feel. Mr. Rudy Gobert also officially won his fourth Defensive Player of the Year award.
Fuck out of here, man. You know who the real Defensive Player of the Year is?
Wemby.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know how he didn't win that shit. I know he's Rookie of the Year. But how did Wemby not get Defensive Player of the Year? Are you kidding?
No question. Victor Wembanyama was the best defensive player in the NBA.
Put the stats up.
He led the league in total blocks and blocks per game.
Thank you. What else do you want him to do?
You want him to average 10 steals a game too?
Right. Like, what the fuck, man? Like,
what did Rudy Gobert do?
Nothing.
Typical shit he always did with the Utah Jazz.
We give him shit all the time for a reason. Like,
he's a help defender.
Yes.
Victor Wembanyama is a defender.
Pure defender. Yes. Oh, my God.
There's a difference, man. And Honestly, I think they hosed Wemby because he's a rookie.
Exactly. No, I don't think anyone's ever won Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year in the same year, if I'm not mistaken. No,
and they can't have
They can't have anybody do that.
They can't have anyone threaten the throne of a Michael Jordan, right? Of a LeBron James, of a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like,
I don't get that. Come on.
Like,
Wemby was a shoe-in for that.
Exactly. Oh my God. I don't know.
I don't get it.
Next year. Oh, actually, before I say that, Wemby actually came out and said, he better hold on to that because that's the last one he's going to win.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Plus, he was humble. And he was like, I should have did a lot better, like, going into the season. I was like,
no, Wemby, shut the fuck up. You know all you can do. Your team was ass. Humble as
fuck. But your team was ass. You were dragging that team with you, dude. So you're fine, bro.
Your team was shit. Man, if I had a vote, I would have voted Wemby.
Same. It's an easy pick for me. But
Easy.
I'm not paid to make those picks, apparently, but, you know, what can you do? Speaking of picks, Boston and Cleveland are playing a series.
Really? I thought Boston was in an open practice on TNT every other day.
That's what it is. Excuse me. I had to recheck my notes on that one. Yes, they're just holding some scrimmages with Cleveland while they wait for the next round of the playoffs. Celtics in 4, womp womp.
Yeah. Next.
Now, lastly, the Pacers and the Knicks. Last week we talked about the Pacers taking care of the Bucks. The Knicks did go ahead and finish off Philly, as we definitely thought they were going to. So now you have a series with two teams who are both scrappy, but now where do we go with it? Brunson is going to have to drag this team with him again, even though they're all playing very well now. Pacers are not looking great so far, and Brunson has the Knicks in a 1-0 lead against the Pacers. What is working well for the Knicks, in your opinion? And how do the Pacers get back into this, especially asterisk, if Haliburton isn't healthy?
All right. I just want to say this real quick. What's going well for the Knicks? The referees.
I've been seeing a lot of that shit, yeah.
I watched game one in my car smoking a cigar. The Pacers played a hell of a game. Perfect game. They were up, I believe, 9 points at one point in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, everything went downhill. They got a bunch of bullshit calls. And when they got the bullshit calls, Rick Carlisle challenged them, and he won them. They were bullshit calls. But the one that killed me was the illegal screen on Miles Turner.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
I don't know if you saw it, but
I saw the clip of it, yes. And yikes.
In the 90s?
Yes.
That's a regular screen.
Easy.
In the 2000s, that's a regular screen.
Yep.
2010s, that's a regular screen.
Yeah.
Regular season, 2024, not a foul. But if it's against the Knicks in the playoffs, when big money's on the line for Vegas, it's a foul.
It's a foul.
You do everything you can to make sure that the Knicks win the game. And the Knicks, obviously, are in New York, big market team. The East market. Boring as fuck. Everyone knows it runs through Boston. They got to make it exciting somehow. They got to make money somehow. So that's why the referees in the NBA are favoring the New York Knicks. In my opinion, this series should be 1-1 going back to Indy.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It's currently 2-0 for the Knicks going back to Indy. And we all know how this series is going to end up already, the way it's been officiated. The Knicks are going to win this series probably in 6 games. And I'm not calling the Knicks a bad team. No. I'm not saying they're not worthy, because they can definitely beat the Pacers fair and square. But what I'm saying is the Pacers can definitely also beat the Knicks fair and square. They're just not getting a fair shot from what I saw from game one.
I can see that.
That is my only issue with this series.
Because game two was tonight, right? It just finished up.
And the Knicks won.
Knicks won again. Yeah, 2-0. Wow.
Brunson hit another clutch shot. I haven't watched any of the game. I was preparing
neither for
this.
Yeah.
But I want to watch the full game back to see how it was officiated.
Absolutely.
Because this is some horrendous bullshit. I ain't going to count. Like, this is a disgrace to basketball. It really is. Like, it should not be like this. Reggie Miller and John Starks are no longer in the NBA. Why the fuck are you officiating the game this way?
I don't know. Especially for the Knicks. That's a team you never wanted to help out in the past. Now, all of a sudden, they're the darling. Now you want them to do well? Like, what?
Oh, they're not going against Jordan.
Right. We can help them out a little bit. That's so weird.
That's just so they can go get destroyed by the Boston Celtics.
Oh, man. That's probably what it is. They want that Boston-New York fucking final like that. Not final.
Exactly.
Semi-final.
Who gives a fuck about Indiana?
Nobody. Nobody. I know they're a good team. Exactly. But unless you're living in Milwaukee, like, no one else really gives a shit.
We're not talking about the basketball team. We're talking about the city.
No. Exactly.
Yep.
Yes. So, I could definitely see them wanting the two big market teams.
Yep.
Especially with the legacies of both of those franchises. Like,
exactly.
That writes itself. That makes money by itself.
Because, you know, when you look at the West, you got smaller market teams. You got OKC. You got Denver. You got Minnesota.
Exactly.
Dallas is the only one where you can go, okay, that's a bigger market team.
Yeah.
So the NBA, I think, in my opinion, are trying to make up for that. You know, we got to get some bigger market teams in the, you know what I'm saying, the bigger games. That's what I'm thinking. And it makes too much sense the way that game was officiated.
That's how we're going to end up with a Cleveland-Indiana conference finals.
Oh, see, like, basketball-wise, if that shit were to happen, I'd watch that series.
That'd be so crazy. I'd watch it just for the principal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because if they win, it's pure basketball.
Right.
Like,
that was like when we wanted. Yeah, that's like when we wanted Detroit and Baltimore in the Super Bowl. We're like, exactly. That's a football fans Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's the bullshit. That's the fans Super Bowl. That's the people's choice.
Yes, 100% agree. But
that's it. That'd be crazy.
But yeah, so it's going to be Boston, New York, still got Denver, Mavs. The West is. I'm more intrigued with the West.
Always. East is nothing. Yeah. West is so intriguing. So
unpredictable.
Yes. Great. Already has been.
All the time. Yeah.
Please. Yeah, give me that any fucking day. If it ends up with the Mavericks and, you know, Nuggets in the conference finals on the West side, like, hell yeah. That's a star-studded event too. So there's really not a bad combination in the West that could come out of this. So not at all. In the East, yeah, this could be a disaster. Womp womp. We'll stay tuned with the rest of these playoffs, folks, because, again, the way they're going, who the fuck knows how this is going to end up. But I'm very curious by the possibilities that we can get out of these fucking finals here. So it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Let's take a commercial break. And in this commercial break, we're going to give a shout-out to one of our unofficial sponsors, and Ryan's going to give us an advertisement for condoms. Take it away, Ryan.
Oh, my Lord. For condoms?
Yeah, unofficial sponsor.
Unofficial sponsor. Okay. I didn't prepare for this, so let me improv.
One, I know.
Two, improv it. Three. Boom. All right. Insert a horse noise. Galloping.
I'm putting it in there. Oh, God.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my love. I haven't seen you in forever.
I love it already.
My love, I haven't seen you in forever. I've been on the battlefield since the sun rose on the coldest winter. Maybe we should try for another. Oh, shit. Well, young man, you got to know. When your wife is left at home alone, when you're on the battlefield, what do you think she's doing? She's finding some other meat. You ever seen a single military wife at the crib alone just waiting for her man to come back? Hell no.
Ooh.
In every movie you watched, what's that movie called? The Notebook?
Mm-hmm.
What was she doing? She was getting some. Getting some.
Yeah.
Boy, you don't know what's been in that. You better wrap that shit up. Go ahead and get you a Trojan, a Magnum, right from Walgreens. You know what I'm saying? You get a 20-pack for $12.99. You got a Walgreens card, that should go for $10.99.
Oof, that's real savings.
Go ahead, pick you up some Trojans, save you the trouble, and don't have a baby by a woman you can't trust.
Unofficial sponsor. That was beautiful. That was a beautiful commercial. It was educational. You painted a picture. I was able to kind of visualize a colonial battlefield, and this dude comes home, and his wife's just like, being a fucking thought, man. He's like, I need to wrap my shit up. I like that. Makes me want to buy some condoms. I don't even like that shit anymore. So
You don't need it.
I need it anymore.
No matter what, you can't get her pregnant.
Brutus the Barber beefcake, bro. Sniff, snip, clip, clip. Yes, unofficial sponsor. Thank you. We're going to try doing those every week. I love an improv commercial, and we don't have any actual sponsors, so I think it's fun to make up our own. Because you know, if we had our say, Trojan, you'd be one of the first ones we signed up, so... Thank you, without even thanking you. We appreciate you, just for existing. Oh,
that's
my
fucking
God.
great.
Who said, my lord? I didn't expect the accent. That threw me off completely. Holy shit. I love this so much. All right. Rest of the episode, we're going to play the game that you know we love to play. We know you love to hear it. And that is just a simple conversational piece we like to call Let's Get Deep. Now, before I ask you any of the questions that I have picked out for you, you had a question for me last week that I wanted you to put a pin in. Now you asked me, oh, what the hell was it?
Yeah, what was it? Hold on.
You asked my opinion about something.
Oh, here it is.
Yes.
If you can ever go back and hit a rewind button,
that's what it was.
To undo something that you did, would you do it?
Would I or what would I do?
Would you and what would you do?
Oh, fuck. The answer is yes, I absolutely would.
Oh.
So okay. I'm supposed to undo something that I did?
And what are you undoing? Yeah.
If I had to pick one thing to undo, honestly, could it be a series of things?
Let's hear it.
Well, it's very simple. What I would undo is my poor fucking eating habits as a teenager and a young adult that led me to being a very rotund grown person that's almost damn near impossible to drop all this fucking weight. It, you know, I don't want to do a whole bunch, but if I could go back and undo that mentality of it doesn't matter or my metabolism is fine,
yeah,
I would undo that. And I would go and put my ass in the gym. And I'm not saying to get ripped, but just an overall well-being. Just making better choices with my diet. Making better choices with being a lazy ass all the fucking time. Like, I would get up and do more active shit just to live a better overall life. Maybe if I did that, I wouldn't have had gallbladder problems a few weeks ago. You know, that's it happens to people. And, you know, genetically, I'm predisposed to some of the things that happen like that, too. But poor diet is another reason for that. So I wasn't helping things with the eating habits I was doing. And, you know, I've gotten a lot better, especially after my initial weight loss journey and everything. But, yeah, if I can go back and undo something, it would be that shit when I was younger, when I could still bounce back and fucking get shredded at a moment's notice if I really put my mind to it. So that would be nice. I think I would have been a little more ahead in life if I had dropped some weight back in the day. What about you, though? I'm curious where that question came from.
Honestly, it's just me trying to advertise Plan B.
I'm doing another ad? Are you saying you would go back and...
No, I'm saying, like, Plan B offers you that.
Oh, I see. Okay. You're just segueing into a nice advertisement for Plan B.
You know what I'm saying? You nutting the wrong bitch. You know what I'm saying? Go get you a Plan B. Tell her to eat that shit. Undo everything that you just did.
It is a literal rewind button, but yes.
That's all I was saying. But anything I would go back and undo. You see, here go my philosophical ass again.
Uh-oh.
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Because everything I've gone through prepared me and made me the man I am today. And
of course.
And so it's like, even all my fuck ups, like, I would not undo any of my fuck ups, like, as bad as I fucked up.
Sure.
Like, I take those fuck ups again and again.
Same here.
And I, shit, I'm the man I am today because of them. And if I didn't have those lessons, I would have got them in the next life.
It's easy to say that when you look like that. All I'm saying.
No, I'm saying like, no. I'm saying like,
I know. I'm giving you shit.
Like, I've mistreated women in the past, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've mistreated women in the past. Like,
I get it.
You know, I've got into it with, like, my parents pretty bad in the past. Like, I've done some shit, like, illegally. Like, I've Same. Done some shit. And so it's like, I wouldn't change a thing. That's what makes us. Yeah.
That's right. And as you notice, I didn't say anything about, like, life shit like that for me either, because I agree. I wouldn't change any, like, decision like that ever, because I wouldn't be sitting here doing anything like that. It's just that kind of thing. It's the superficial shit. I was like, oh, I wish I could be a little bit thinner. And I know it's directly responsible because of my actions as a college student. I was fucking eating large pizzas and shit like by the boatload. So that shit adds up.
And
shit. You know, in the 40s. Oh, yeah. Malt liquor goes right to your fucking guts, bro. Yeah, so, yeah, that's all fat. So I didn't give a fuck. I thought I was indestructible. So, again, superficial shit for me, but I totally get that. And I agree. I wouldn't change a thing on my life journey to get here, because fuck that. That's who I am.
Mm.
Let's get deep. here's a question for you. What is the most important lesson you learned as a child?
Oh, wow. Jumping right. Hey, this perfect segue from what I just said.
Exactly. I thought it was perfect.
Most important lesson I learned as a child. This is going to sound weird.
We like weird. But
I've learned a lot as a child, and I would say the most important one, the one that I reflect on to most, has to be to not get too attached to anything.
Mm. You learned that as a child, huh?
Yeah, I learned that as a child. Because shit can change and shit's always out of your control.
Very true.
When did I learn that? I learned that when my parents got divorced.
I had a feeling that's where you're going with that.
Yeah. Obviously, I saw things like transpire in front of me that kind of hinted at the fact that shit was going to happen.
Yeah.
At a very young, I was like 3, 4, 5 years old. And, you know, idealizing what family should be and what actually happened in reality was really hard for me. Because it was hard for me to let go of the idea that I had of family and what it should be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I had to learn really quick to let that go, because not everything will always be the way that it should be in your eyes and in your mind. You know, nothing's ever perfect. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And it's honestly, I learned that at a young age, but it took me a while to actually apply it.
Of course.
Yeah, I didn't start applying that shit till like my 20s.
I don't think anybody would really.
You know, like,
you didn't know.
You know, it's always been in the back of my mind. Like, man, like, even for example, even like at my basketball games, I would go and like, you know, like my teammates, their parents would be up there, and, you know, their families would be up there watching them, and it'll be me, and I'm like, damn, like, I want that. Like,
right.
My mom's not even there all the time. My dad never came to any of my games. And like, that shit used to bug me. That shit used to eat at me. I'm not going to lie.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. You need a support system.
Yeah. And so I always felt like a lone wolf. But again, like, I wouldn't have it any other way, because I learned so much from that.
Yeah.
Those experiences.
Look how far you've gotten.
And that's motivated me to like one day, like, become the dad that I always wanted, or the parent I always wanted. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yes.
And I can't wait till I see my mini me, whenever that day would be. And, you know, just give him everything that I wish I was given. You know what I mean? Be the person I needed.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. You know I understand that shit. That's
yeah, absolutely.
That's me to a T. It's me to a T.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Are you going to answer these questions too?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Most important thing I learned as a child, and it's going to sound corny, but it's you have to work for anything you want. Money doesn't grow on trees. It sounds cliche. I get that. But it's that mentality. Now, you know, I'm older. I didn't grow up in a age where we had cell phones and, you know, information at your fingertips. And like, yeah, I grew up in the internet age and everything. But when I was, you know, getting my bearings and becoming a young adult, a teenager, all that stuff, it was just you. You had to do your own resources. You had to know how to get around. You had to know how to get a job. Like, I started working when I was 14 years old. So the things that I wanted in life, I wanted my own car. I wanted, you know, to play sports. I wanted to do this and that. Seeing my mom, a single mom with other brothers, you know, in the house, she's out there trying to get her education, trying to put 3 jobs together to get money for us. Like, seeing how hard my mom worked to put food on the table, and understanding that when I turned 14, that I could actually help put food on the table, that to me, like, a light switch went on. And it was just like, it's the caretaker role. It was the being the oldest of the brothers, but also being the man of the house for a lot of it. You know, I had stepfathers and everything, but they all had their flaws. At the end of the day, it always came back to me and my mom. Mm-hmm. My mom and I, me and my mom. That's right. So just the idea that I needed to earn everything that I wanted in life is something that I still take with me. It makes me value the things that I have. The house that I worked my ass off to buy and to take care of and cultivate and make into a home, and trying to pass it on to my kids of understanding, like, hey, they're so used, especially my kids, especially my daughter, they have everything in their face. Everything is available to them. Everything is, you can buy. And they understand, or at least they're trying to understand, it ain't gonna ever be like that with me. I don't care if we hit the lottery. I don't give a fuck. I'm not gonna just start buying everything in sight. The purpose of earning what we have so we can appreciate those things is always going to be one of my top lessons that I teach and that I take on. Because that's something you still learn every single fucking day. I like shopping and spending money on stupid shit too, but it's like, I had to stop myself and go gas, mortgage, all that shit, like clothes, food, groceries, all that. That's got to come first. I put those bills above everything else, even the fun shit. There's things I want to put on this show behind me that cost money that I'm like, I got to wait. I got to wait. It's got to be the right time. It can't be a detriment to our bills, that kind of thing, which means I don't get that number one super automatic, you know, I get what I want when I want it kind of thing. Like it's, and even though I'm an adult, that's what you always grow up wanting is I want to be able to take, you know, eat ice cream for breakfast and buy whatever I want and go to sleep at 3 a.m. You know, no, man, like there's more to life and more to being an adult and a husband and a father than just doing what you want all the time. And I think once you leave that ego at the door and you work hard for everything, you appreciate so much though. That I learned that at a young age because I had to, but I wouldn't change that lesson for anything in the world. I'm so happy that I'm not a spoiled asshole, like, and that I'm not raising spoiled assholes, and I have a wife who's not a spoiled asshole. So that's all I needed, man. But I learned that young. I learned that young. Here's a fun question for you. What's one thing I don't know about you?
Hold on. Let me think. Uh-oh. One thing you don't know about me. Holy shit. That's a good question. Cause
I thought so. Wow,
damn, we kind of go back.
I know a lot, but I wonder if there's anything you don't know.
What don't you know?
Any secrets you're hiding? Oh, your face is lit up.
I got one. You don't know this. So
okay.
When I was 8, I got into a boating accident.
And your ass just got off a boat.
Yeah.
Interesting. And that didn't even, did that weigh on you at all?
No.
What was the boating accident?
Loki, it was my fault. So, I'm laughing about it now, but at the time I could have died.
Jesus.
So I was sitting, so me, my cousins, and a couple of my uncles were on a fishing trip in Minnesota. And I was sitting at the very front of the boat with my feet like dangling, touching the water and shit.
Sure.
One of my cousins was driving the boat, and I think we just like hit a wave or some shit, and I fell under.
Oh boy.
I fell under and went completely under the boat.
Holy shit.
Thought I was going to die.
That might have been it.
I had my life flash in front of my eyes.
At eight years old. Jesus.
And then my eyes were closed and I heard, thump! It was the propeller cutting me.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So the propeller actually cut me like on my thigh, like almost cut my dick off.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Horrifying. Yeah.
And so like I got like a little scar right there. Like in my inner thigh.
You're gonna say a dick scar? It's like, oh
no. My dick is perfect, bro. This is by my dick.
Right, very close. Jesus, that's a reminder.
Hell yeah.
Oh man.
So yeah, that's very traumatic experience that I had that you did not know about me.
And you willingly got on a boat again just last week. That's some shit.
No,
that would have been it. I would have been out.
No fear in me, my boy.
Especially almost losing the dick. I wouldn't even look at a boat anymore. Like, nope. Nope.
Oh, man.
Okay. One thing you don't know about me. Oh, I know. And it's only because most people don't know this detail. It's a detail in a story that everyone knows that I never bring up because it's dumb as fuck. You're aware of the scar on my lip.
Yeah. You actually told me about it.
Sure. And you recall what happened. I got bit by a dog when I was 6 years old.
Yep.
Sure. So for those of you who don't know, I have a significant scar on my upper lip. When I was 6 years old, I was visiting my grandmother, and she had this weird pit bull mixed dog. And long story short, the dog jumped up, bit half my lip off, had to get 3 surgeries when I was 6 years old, plastic surgery, heavy-duty shit. And, you know, I look sexy as fuck now, but growing up, it was the biggest part of my character is getting made fun of with that scar. I got called dog face gremlin all fucking time. So kids are cruel. That is what it is. It helped make me who I am, Bill's character. The detail that I never tell people. So I know you don't know this. I think only a few people know this shit, but you know, it's a long time ago, so I can bring it up now. The fact that I got bit by the dog is 100% my fault. It's 100% my fault. The detail I don't tell people is the reason the dog bit me is because I tried to ride it like a pony. Yep, 6 years old, jumped on the, this is a long time ago. I don't remember how I was riding it, but I know I surprised the shit. Like I did like a running start and I hold Silver and jumped on the motherfucker and tried to ride it like a fucking horse. So, as a dog would normally do, it freaked the fuck out, bucked me off, like, and then while it did that, it like nudged its head up, and I think it just caught the lip and ripped. It was a good angle, and it got half my lip off. So that's the part I don't tell people because I was an idiotic 6-year-old, but that's the reason I got bit because I tried to ride like a horse. So that's your PSA for the fucking week because I haven't had one in a long time, folks. Don't ride your fucking dogs. They don't like that shit. PSA is completed. There you go. That's a detail you didn't know about me because most people don't. So fucking next question.
Mm-hmm.
What is something that you've always wanted to do but never had the guts to do?
Something I've always wanted to do but didn't have the guts to do it. Damn, that's a good question. Fuck.
I can go first if you want to think about it.
Yeah. Go first because I feel like when I have the urge to do something, I just do it.
For me, it's skydiving.
Ooh.
It's absolutely skydiving. There's a part of me that absolutely wants to do it one day, but there's the 90% of me that goes, I just don't need an excuse to die that quickly. just no. But I've seen so many videos. I've seen movies based on skydiving. It looks like the coolest fucking thing in the world. I know 90-year-olds who have gone skydiving. And they just, it's the thrill of their life. And that's where I feel like I might do it. It's like on the way out when I've already lived a full life and I'm 85 years old, then throw my ass out the plane. Cause then I got nothing to lose. If I don't make it anyway, hey, I did it all. I did it my way. But at almost 40, nah, I got too much to live for, bro. I'm good. I wish I had the guts to do it. I wish I was that bold and be like, fuck it. I got too much to lose now. So
yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Maybe one day.
Man, fuck. Something I never had the guts to do. I would say, damn, you picked a good one, actually.
His answer is eat ass. I'm kidding.
You know, honestly, that might be it.
That's the answer?
That might be it, man. Like, that's something I've always, like, wanted to try, but once I get to it, I'm like, Brian, eating that shit.
But the guys who do make it sound like it's a gourmet meal. And I'm like,
no, hell no.
How is that possible? I don't see what you can even do to it to make it appealing. But some dudes are wired to where, like, that's the standard. That's the icebreaker for them. And I just,
Like, the vajayjay, like, you.
That's different. You
know, yeah, like, that's like, different. Shit don't come out of it.
No. But all you have to clean it all out and you have to do it fast and all this. Even with all that, if you had taken a magic eraser inside your fucking asshole, I don't care.
With bleach.
It don't matter to me. Like, I don't think there's enough bleach for me to be cool with it. I'm sorry. And I don't know if that makes me a prude. I don't think it makes me a prude. That's just mother freaky shit. But like, that is like, that just seems to me like that's a bridge I can't. And I talked about this on the show before where it's like, I barely even fart in front of my wife. Definitely don't take shits in front of her. So eating ass is like the same level for me. Like, no.
That's just, I don't know, man. That's just nasty. Like that. There's dirty, and then there's just nasty. That's just plain nasty.
Y'all nasty out there. Fucking hell. That's all right. We'll stick with eating ass. That could be a good answer for you. What is at the top of your bucket list? The number one.
Damn. Okay. I don't know if this is number one because I got a lot of shit on my bucket list.
Okay. It could be a top list.
Yeah. But I want to fuck on an airplane.
Interesting. Mile High Club. It's like harder and harder to do that these days.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Like whether it's a private jet or just a commercial plane, like whatever the fuck. Like I want to fuck in the air.
Private jet is a whole other thing. Like, if you don't get someone a private jet, you're just doing it wrong. I just think that's a whole, like, on a commercial, that's different. That's like, you're sneaky.
That's some spontaneous shit.
That's some spontaneous, wild shit. On a private jet, it's like, I don't even need the bathroom. Just do it on the fucking plane. Like, I like that, though. That's a good choice.
Hell yeah.
You don't see it very often anymore. No. At least not that we know of.
Not that we know of.
People are pretty sneaky.
Yeah.
I like that one. That's on my list, too. I don't know if it's at the top, but it's definitely on my list.
Mm.
Top of the bucket list. It's Ireland. It has to be Ireland for me. I have to go to the motherland. I have to. Like, you don't understand. But the thought consumes me. Do you know how many times a year I look up like prices to visit Ireland?
Oh, it's, man. That 1% at least in you, huh?
It calls to me. Before I even knew I had the 1%, Ireland has always called to me. It just seems like the most beautiful place that makes the most delicious beverage with some of the nicest, maybe cantankerous people. I don't know how Ireland feels about black people, but I, at the very minimum, I'm going to be exotic over there. At minimum. To me, with the cobblestone, with the cliffs like Scotland, like all the isles out there, like just the beauty of it all, that is something I have to go. It's not even a want. I have to go one day. I got to go see it with my own eyes. After that, whatever. But Ireland, man, if I go there, I feel like, A, I'm not either going to come back or I'm going to buy a summer home there.
Man.
That's how badly I want to go.
If I were you, I ain't coming back.
It would be so hard to. It'd be so hard to come back. And man, don't get me wrong. I like it here, too. I love America like everybody else. But Ireland just seems like
Wisconsin?
My kind of people. No. Just like my kind of people. Oh, you mean why I like stay? Fuck. God, no. I don't even want to settle here. But I'm here. I'm living here. It's fine. We have family. But Ireland is like that place I would go to every fucking year just to visit. Like,
hell yeah.
Don't let me find a fun family there who likes my jokes. Like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Every 6 months I'd be out there. Fuck that.
Man, fucking whiskey country.
Woo! That's the motherland of whiskey. That's where it comes from. Ireland, Scotland, all that shit. Just the Isles, bro. I used to be in the Isles. It speaks to me on the way, like, a lot of, like, philosophical and, like, global and spiritual shit speaks to your soul and your third eye. That's how I feel about Ireland. It speaks to me. I can hear it, like, across the wind. Ireland. It just blows in a slight breeze, and I just get that warm, fuzzy feeling. Go, I wonder how my Irish brothers are doing today.
So you die.
Oh, God. That's Scottish. You don't say that. Oh, yeah. I feel you. Okay, here's a good one for you.
A little bit.
What hobby would you pick up if time and money were not an issue?
What hobby would I pick up if time and money was not an issue? Acting.
Woo!
Acting. And I would turn good that actor. Shit into a career.
Good choice. Now, you mean like full acting or voice acting? I know you mentioned acting. Voice acting before. You want full acting.
Yeah.
Nice.
I still have like the dream, if you will, of, you know, acting, of being an actor.
Get the itch, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to do it one day. I will. But
sir,
today, if that shit wasn't an issue, time, money, I'll drop my job. I'll drop everything and just fully devote myself to being an actor.
Damn. That's dope. Have you ever acted before?
No, but I feel like I got it, though. Like, I just.
I think you do.
I just feel like I got it. Like, I don't know. Got it. Yeah.
You have the charisma for it to be an actor, for sure. Like,
I feel like
easy.
I feel like I'd be good in like an Avatar movie or like a fucking.
It's always Avatar with you.
Like, if you watched Power,
you and your BET.
It's fucking stars, okay?
It's close enough. BET and stars are the same shit. You might say it's on UPN. It's the same shit, bro. Black people get one channel. It's just all together.
Oh shit!
He said it's on the Source Network. Like, okay, go on.
But one of the like universes, Raising Kanan, there's interactions with like the Koreans and the Chinese and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and they're like, you know, dealing drugs out there, fucking Chinese restaurants and shit, washing their money through it.
Nice,
man. Oh my god, like the Asians they got on there. I'm sorry, but they some fucking squares. Like.
So specifically, you're trying to take those roles over.
Like, hell yeah. Cause like
some fucking flavor to it.
They got some Asians that belong in like straight fucking not kung fu movies, but like fucking like Rush Hour type movies, which is
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, niche, that's cool.
Yeah, but man, like you could tell they ain't never stepped foot in the fucking hood. What the fuck?
They're like acting like how they think the hood is. Yes. Like
yeah, but
I fucking hate that.
Yeah, they need somebody natural.
Authentic, yes.
Authentic, yes.
Yeah, I like that. I could definitely see that. That'd be a great fit for you. For me, it's not even a surprise. I'd open up some kind of small restaurant. And for me, it's like And I've always said this. I would never do a restaurant, like a brick and mortar. God, no. But like a small sandwich shop, like a food truck, like a, you know, just a niche kind of small place. A few things on the menu that are that you can't get anywhere else. That's the key. I'm not saying open a sandwich shop. Everybody does that shit.
Everybody. But
the menu I have in my brain, if I was ever going to do it, like are things that you just cannot get, but you need them when you need them. So I've always said this. So I had a food truck. I'd be the food truck like on Water Street at like 1 a.m. with the late night snacks and shit. So the sandwich you would get is like something you don't get at Subway. It'd be like a chicken bacon something something. Or like, you know, and I have a whole menu. I'm not even going to spoil for anybody, but like it would only be like, you know, 5 things on the menu, but very creative, unique kind of things that fucking slap after you've had a night of drinking.
I would like it.
I would fucking love it.
That shit would be gas. So you talking about like a food truck?
If it was going to be anything, it'd probably be a food truck. I think I'm more of a food truck guy than a, like, go to a restaurant kind of guy. But, like,
I've never been to a bad food truck.
Exactly. I go to food truck festivals out here. They're all fucking good. They all slap. So going to those places and just getting inspiration, seeing what they're coming up. Like, even, like, there's, a Waukesha Taco Fest and shit. And, like, looking at the different versions of tacos that are just out of the box that they come with. There was one. What the fuck was that I had? It was like an Asian steak taco. I can't remember. It was incredible. It was incredible. And I go, I never would have thought to put Asian and Mexican together. Like, wow. Blew me away. So like the fusion shit, I would play with that all day long. Gordon Ramsay style, bro. So
what would the like, what's the word I'm looking for? What would the go-to or like specialty dish be?
Oh, you're going to make me spoil it out here, huh? It's just like that, huh?
Yeah. I got to know.
If you're going to think it's funny, but I'll explain the reason for it. It's a fried bologna sandwich. But hear me out. It's a gourmet version. It's not like the old back from the hood fried bologna sandwich.
Throw that shit on a pan and then 2 slices of bread.
That's what I'm saying. So I juice it up. You know, I put a little CJ spin on it, so it'd be a gourmet one. But the fact of the matter is that was a staple for me growing up. So that's where I know I'd be able to add enough to it to make it a popular fucking dish because of what I could add to it. I'm not going to say that online because patent pending. But in my head, I have a recipe for one that would knock your fucking socks off. For you, sir, I'll make that in person. Just so you can see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But again, if time and money weren't a factor, you'd find me on the streets. And you'd be well fed.
Ooh, man.
Easy money. Oh, my God. And I'd love to
make that shit happen. I can't wait.
Man. That'd be fun, man. Really fucking fun. I got two more for you. Man. What is your most embarrassing memory from when you were younger? Ah, he's already laughing.
Hold on.
Yeah. I know I got mine in the tank already. So fucking
time-
stupid.
One time, okay, I was in middle school. I think I was in like sixth or seventh grade. And, you know, kids being fucking stupid at school.
Of course.
My friend gave me a condom.
Unofficial sponsor.
Shout out to Durex.
Yes, sir.
I remember the color. It was green.
Damn.
And, so I went home and I'm like, let me figure out how to use this.
Oh, that was your first condom?
Yeah. I was like, let me figure out how to use this.
Let's find a banana. Mom, do you have any bananas?
No. I used mine.
Okay, nice.
I used my eggplant. And, you know, you have to, you know, get up. You got to get up.
Right.
The buddy's got to get up. So I was getting my buddy up, and my sister walks in on me.
No.
Oh man, my sister walks in on me. I'm like, oh shit.
The real move, the real quick move.
Dude, like,
I wouldn't do nothing.
You're like, wait, what are you doing?
Oh no, not the sister.
Yeah, bro, my fucking sister walked in on me. At the time, she was like a freshman, maybe.
Oh, so she knew exactly what you were doing, too. Like,
yeah, she knew exactly what I was doing.
Woo!
God, fuck. That shit was hilarious. And I'm actually about to go on to graduate this weekend.
Oh my god, that's fantastic. That I had no idea I was gonna go there. That's woo. Yeah, mine's nowhere near that embarrassing, but I'll still tell. But it's a good transition talking about food and going to this story because it kind of goes hand in hand. Talking about shitty food, I was in high school. I think I was a freshman in high school. That's right. This was like the first 2 weeks of high school. So I was like, okay, new school, new friends. I'm going to make a name for myself. I'm going to do some sports. It'll be cool. And I'll never forget, I had lunch in the cafeteria, and it was like some kind of goulash, like a hamburger helper.
Yeah.
Something like that. And I didn't bring a bag lunch, and I didn't really like a hot lunch, but I said, fuck it, I'll try the goulash. Whatever, just get me through the day. So about an hour later, that shit started coming back. In the middle of my math class, can't remember, I might have been geometry. I do recall that this math teacher I had was, yeah. A lot of, you talking about, getting your buddy up. Math teacher was, but, so in her class, which everybody had a crush on her, the goulash started coming back up. And I had to excuse myself, and I'm pretty sure I only had about 10 seconds before it was going to be fireworks, because the clock was ticking that fucking fast. So I was able to get out, go to the hallway, and again, this was maybe 5 minutes before the class is over. So I had to kind of argue with the teacher, be like, I really got to go, it's an emergency. I know class is almost over, but I got to go. She goes, okay, fine. I sprint down the hallway, and I can't make it. I am looking around everywhere. Again, this is my fucking nightmare. I'm looking around everywhere for a trash can. So I'm like, the bathroom, I know in my head, is still like a mile away. It might as well be in two fucking schools over. And I'm looking around. There's no trash can. There's nothing inside. It's just empty fucking floors and hallways and shit, except for the bubbler.
Oh, no.
And I proceed to unload right into the bubbler that everyone uses. It's plain as day. And boy, let me tell you, this was not a small amount of puke. This shit overflowed all over the bubbler, onto the floor, full of chunky goulash. And right as I finished, the bell rang.
Oh, everybody came out.
Everyone walks out. No, everyone walks out, and I fucking book it. Like, I didn't do a damn thing. All they know was me. They talked about that shit for a month later. But I tried to get out there as fast as possible, but just scientifically, no. I was definitely at the scene of the crime when it happened.
Damn.
So when you hear me say that I reinvented myself in college, it's going to start it there in high school.
See, I thought you were going to say it was dripping down your pants.
Oh, it was everywhere.
No,
it was on my shoes.
In your asshole.
Oh, you mean that way. No. Yeah. Thank God.
That would have been.
Coming back from that.
That would have been.
That would have been it. I would have changed schools at that point. So I got what I needed from it. Like, it could have been a lot worse. I was able to kind of, talk it away. I had food poisoning, all that shit. Everybody can, sympathize with that. But if I shit myself, yeah, that there's no coming back from that at all. So, God damn. Oh, my God. You know what? I'm not going to ask the last question because it's too similar to the other ones I've got. That's the game. And I want to know your last words for your adoring fans.
My last words for my adoring fans. See, normally I'd save this for like an NBA topic, but we already talked about the NBA today.
Ah.
Yeah. So this is going to be a little different. I know we don't do
this.
All
right.
But sometimes you and your significant other are going to go through shit, right?
How dare you?
Oh,
hit me with facts.
Sometimes, you guys are going to butt heads. Everywhere. Yeah, it's not always sunshines and rainbows over here.
Fuck no. Of course.
Just be patient.
You sound like you're speaking from the heart.
Yeah, sometimes I need to hear that shit myself. Because if anybody knows me, I'm either 0 or 100.
100.
And so just be patient, because at the end of the day, everything will subside.
Very true.
And you'll start to realize, like, shit really doesn't matter. Shit doesn't matter unless it actually matters.
Mm.
And you'll know when something matters.
Absolutely.
And so just take life slowly. We all like to move through life in a fast manner. Everything's,
Preach.
We want it yesterday. And
right.
Just take your time, man. This ain't a race. It's a marathon. Answer. Like Nipsey Hussle said, it's a marathon. Oof!
Ain't never lied.
So just be patient.
I like it. Don't be patient when you come watch us, though. Make sure you hit that play button immediately. Smash that shit. Smash that shit. But for everything else, yes, take it easy. I got to learn that lesson too sometimes. And, it's, like you said, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. The wife and I don't fight, but we don't agree on everything either. And we talk shit out. We don't go to bed angry. And we've had that conversation on this show before, too. Of, you know, that's what makes it work for us. But yeah, I can definitely tell you, mean, like, sometimes, especially at the beginning of your relationship, that's a good lesson to learn right away. Just so you set that standard of, we're not going to fight about all the stupid bullshit. Yeah. We're going to be a team and talk shit through. That should be numero uno, but that's his bag. I've got my bag and your bag. You know what your bag is. Inside that bag is where you can find the Bank Bro Show. That's YouTube. It's Facebook and it's gmail.com. It's also on Instagram at Bank Bro Show. So make sure you check out all that stuff. See all the content. We got more coming, I promise you. We've had a weird couple of weeks. Some of us had surgery. Some of us couldn't even ride an ATV. So we have had some weeks here, folks. Be patient. The content's coming. I promise you, we got more cool shit coming up, especially with the sports going the way they are. You know, we get closer to the summer. Things slow it down a little bit. So, you know, that means more creativity and fun episodes coming from your boys here. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that fun stuff that we have just for you, because we love you. That's exactly right. Yeah. In the meantime, make sure you come back and see us. Why? Because the Bank Bros are in your city. We are here for you as we always are, and you can bank on it. Until next time.
1, 2, 3. Lock.